from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster. Can put two point of fine on it. It tries to put a dull on it. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast to put you to sleep. Hey, everybody, it's Scoots, and I know this is not an easy time for anybody. This episode was recorded a few months ago, so I just wanted to let you know that and to let you know to check our show notes for resources, because the podcast is here to put you to sleep, but there's more resources in our show notes if you're needing more. Please use those links. You're really important to me, so please use them. Thank you so much. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener of Sleep With Me, so if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. Hey, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, where I thank the people that are supporting our sponsors, because that's what keeps the show free. I wanted to thank Amy W., who supported Quip. Amy got some Quip, and got that fresh, clean breath and teeth. Thanks for supporting Quip, Amy. You can find out all our current sponsors at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. And make sure to let the sponsors know where you heard about them. Tag them in a social media post. Tag me, and I can try to thank you on the Sleepy Supporter Zone like Amy. So thank you, Amy. Also, the second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is about you. There's resources if you're looking for support right now, getting through things. I got some links in the show notes for you. And then the third part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is something I'm supporting, and that is this weekend right now. As this weekend wraps up, I'm supporting Podapalooza. I submitted an episode, a Fearless Flyer episode, exclusively, never been heard before, for Podapalooza. There's an incredible lineup of other podcasts, and you could hear from Sleep With Me and discover some new favorite podcasts. Tickets are pay what you can, and 100% of the proceeds go to Give Directly, which is helping families hardest hit by this crisis. And you could go to podapalooza.org or plza.org. That's plza.org to check them out. Thanks, everybody. And that's the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone, which is now over. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on the show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson.
Sounds like an earful.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes.
Carl W. The Lecture.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see, the kindness shines. straight on through. When the listeners form their own Facebook group, Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Night Vale Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter. Hasn't been any news yet, but when there is, it'll be in the newsletter. sleepwithmepodcast.com/newsletter. Thanks. And what do you say we get on with the show? Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and I just wanted to let you know this episode coming up here is one from our vault. It came out about, 3 years ago or so. But I thought with all the streaming television watching going on, this would be a fun journey into the past. It's a listener favorite, and I think it's a really fun episode. I just get so much feedback about it, and it's just about my consumption habits and my special memories of the cable channel. And now I guess coming up it'll be doing more than that, HBO. Thanks so much.
Hey, up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. Well, welcome, this is Sleep With Me, the podcast. It's here to put you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to do is try to create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, running through your brain, feelings, physical sensations, travel, changes in routine, stormy weather, like stormy stuff, mind going blank, whatever's keeping you awake. I'd like to distract you from that. What I'm going to do, did I already say I'm going to try to create a safe place where you can set all that aside, a friendly place, a warm, welcoming place where I'm glad you're here. And I hope this place could accommodate you. And I really do try to carve that out. I think I've stressed that sometimes, like a snow fort. We'll come back to that. But that truly is we'll get back to it. So I'm trying to create a safe place, a figurative snow, with the warm stuff that I can, I'll work on that imagery. In the meantime, for the new listeners, I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creak, dulcet tones. Yeah, pointless meanders, long meanders, meanderwear. I'll be wearing meanderwear. Also be, like some people say they're reading tea leaves. I read my meanderwear. They say, what does this say? When I'm wearing it, which even slows, that's very distracting. Like when you try to look at your tag, how often does that happen? I feel like I'm always trying to read tags that are on clothes on me. Usually I'm trying to rip them off without ripping the shirt but it's why do I have a memory of reading tags? I think that might be I wonder if that was implanted in us in the Matrix. That's proof of the Matrix, maybe. Because when really would someone say, is that a rayon shirt? Holy moly. And you say, I don't know, let me check. I mean, maybe with jeans, someone would say, I guess trying to talk my brother into buying some jeans recently. And then he said, is there stretch in those jeans? And I said, I believe there are. But I still didn't check my, and I had jeans on, but he still wasn't checking, in the store. It's kind of think about how much we criticize dogs for chasing their own tails, or more like write them off. You say, okay, they're not going to be taken over. No reason. Don't wonder they're domesticated. They're chasing their own tails. And meanwhile, at least I can only speak for myself. I'm chasing my tags. And then the dog says, it's a freaking cotton shirt. It's 100% cotton. I don't know what you're looking up. And then the dog said, that was a memory implanted by the and I'm not even talking to you. And I say, anyway, I thought I was going to talk about snow forts after I welcomed the new listeners. I'm sorry, Matrix dog. Also, good pet name. Just in case anybody's thinking about naming a pet, we always have this segment. when it comes up. Matrix, that's a good name, especially if you're a Matrix lover. Like if you love Dot Matrix Perenners, probably not very many people do. The movie's The Matrix. What if you love, I love the movie The Matrix, but if it didn't exist, it would still be a wonderful word, Matrix. And I think that is Matrix. It's two syllables. Correct me if I'm wrong, brain, but I think it's two syllables. And the second one has got like a oomph to it. And those are key in naming pets. If you excuse me, I am a pet naming hobbyist. So let's run through this. Sorry to hijack the intro. That was going to be about snow forks, the forks you scoop snow with. That's tonight's sponsor. And they're having a summer sale. Anyway, back to Matrix. So dog, that would be a good name. For a cat, I definitely could see a cat being named Matrix, you know, depending on its fur or its personality or how much you love, maybe you love matrices. Matrices sounds like something in a royal, like a servant at a royal event, or like, what's that third person carrying your gloves or something? Well, that's my matrices. She's the assistant to the matron's assistant, matrices. But yeah, what about naming? I don't think Matrix is the best name. Well, a bird named Matrix. That sounds like it. That's a story. Again, that could write itself. A bird named Matrix. I don't think you could pick a better, at least for a title of a book or a story. What about, okay, so let's talk small mammals. Let's do it. Matrix. I can see, fix, fish. sorry, but sometimes I just laugh when my brain says stuff. I said, did you just say fix instead of fish? But fish, you can name fish Matrix. I think maybe with single syllable words for fish is probably more efficient. Let's be honest, you know, after the first couple of weeks, how much are you going to be interacting with those fish? You know, just when you feed them and you just say, here, fishy, fishy, fishy anyway. That's nice. I guess that would be, I'm not working on any books on boosting self-esteem, but I think, well, this is probably what leads to overfishing, overfeeding a fish. That's what I meant. But, it's like that good feeling you get when you say, here, fishy, fishy, and the fish come. I mean, talk about getting your validation in strange places, but that's where, you know, you got to get it where you can find it. Yeah, here's some terrible personal advice. If you need validation, get a fish and then feed it, and you'll feel at least however many times a day you feed the fish while it lives, you'll feel validated until you invalidate the fish, or just feed it once a day. Or twice a day, you know, consult your veterinarian or your carnival worker. And I guess name that fish Matrix, because a gerbil named Matrix, I could see that. But then somebody's going to, know-it-all, some pet know-it-all is going to come to your house. So why'd you name it Matrix? Like with a cat, you'd say, look at its fur, look at its eyes. Because, how can you get more leeway? I guess you do, just because animals, cats and dogs have more personality. I know, not a lot of people have pigs as pets, but that would be a good pig Matrix. Maybe not. You're right. It's just a gut feeling. Guinea pig named Matrix. Matrix. Yeah, probably stick to, so it's a iffy name. It's a nice word, though, Matrix. I don't know what I had, why I started talking about it. Honest to gosh, because I was hoping to get new listeners set up. So new listeners, if you're new here, there's a little dose of the Matrix of my mind, which is more like a gobbledygook. If gobbledygook could be a Matrix, I just cooked ramen the other day. That's about as straight a line as I can get, you know, with this. That's like the podcast intro is like a lump of ramen. I don't think that's a Matrix, because matrices are usually more efficient, or they're working for the royal class carrying their gloves. I wonder, maybe I'll put out a job thing. Matrices, I'm hiring for matrices. So it just like a, you know, in an unpaid matrices position currently, or what do they say? Salary based on experience or something. You say, well, how many years have you been, never heard of a matrices? Right. So I can't pay you because you've never been a matrices. Well, they don't exist. Well, they do. You just don't have any, like, that's your salary's contingent on experience. You don't have any experience. Well, actually, I'm a professional snowboarder, so I carry my gloves all the time. Well, it's different. Different situation entirely. Anyway, I got to get back. So if you're new here, it's clearly this podcast a little bit silly. You don't need to listen to it. But I'm pretty confident, like, if the podcast, that you were distracted. You may have been confused and distracted. But that you were distracted from whatever was keeping you awake while I was rambling. So that's one thing. Podcasts are meant to distract you, take your mind off stuff, engage you just enough. But you also don't need to listen. So you can't have permission to tune out or to drift off whenever you feel like it. It's a podcast to put you to sleep, but you shouldn't feel any pressure to fall asleep right away. Like just fall asleep when you can. I'm here to like be here, keep you company, keep you mildly, barely entertained while you drift off into dreamland, to create a safe, comfortable place, much like the perfect snow fort, which maybe only exists in like is that a Plutonian ideal? Plutonian ideal, like a snow fort, could that have one of those? It would be cozy. It would be warm. It would, you know, be shady where you get in womb-like, definitely womb-like. You know, if you want room for two, there could be room for two. Comfy, you know, where you could lie or sit down and you say, man, I feel good in here. I feel like I could relax and, you know, just chill out. And then, you know, go pelt my siblings with snowballs after they walk by or whatever the plan is. Also, it's summertime, so I don't know why I've got snow forts on the brain, but so I get like, yeah, I have a snow fort envy or snow fort withdrawal, 30 years of it. But so if you're new here, you don't really need to listen or pay attention. You also don't need to feel any pressure to fall asleep. These episodes are about an hour. Like the structure of the show, a little late to share this, but the first 5 or 6 minutes or so or housekeeping. And that's how we keep the show free and sponsors and supporters. So if you're new, not that important. If you're a regular listener, it's kind of critical you listen to that part. And appreciate everybody that does that. Then we have an intro, which we're hopefully on the tail end of. And the intro is kind of a show within a show where people like fall asleep or start to unwind or brush their teeth, make and unmake their beds, puff their pillows, all that kind of stuff. Then we'll have an episode of Story Tonight. That'll be about 40, 45 minutes or so. And then some thank yous on the tail end of the show. And that's it. It's a podcast to take your mind off stuff, to put you at ease. It doesn't work for everybody. That's the only catch. I'm an acquired taste. You know, just like you can't name every pet matrix, you can't, like, not everybody's going to fall asleep to this podcast, but give it a few tries. 90% of the reviews say, hey, I listened to it a few times or I was skeptical, and then I started to enjoy it. You know, unfortunately, that doesn't exactly translate to personal life. Like, but you know, it works for the podcast. Like I say, well, first you got on my nerves, and then I was like, well, oh, wait a second. I don't get like, you just got to sit back and listen, and then I fall asleep. So give it a few tries. I hope it helps you. And I say this every episode because I mean it. I'm really glad you're here. I work hard. I yearn and strive to help you fall. I really hope I can help you fall asleep. So thank you for coming by. All right, good night.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive. progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.
All right. Hey, everybody. So it's Tuesday, and I've been thinking, I had this idea kind of based on a few different things. When you hear this, it'll be a little bit dated, a couple of things I'm referring to. I just listened to a Doughboys episode of Feral Audio Podcast, and Nick Weiger has this opening kind of where he does this historical thing, and he was doing it about The Sopranos, and it made me think about HBO. And then, kind of in a weird way, Farrell's got this new podcast called Tapped, which you should just check out to get the concept. But it's, they found a little leak in the N to the S to the A, where it's kind of like funny, mundane conversations. Anyway, but those two things were making me think about, in different ways, how much of an impact HBO in these weird slivers of my childhood had on my life and on this podcast, to be honest with you. And so this will kind of take a journey, a little bit of a personal journey. I don't know how much fiction will be in here. Any parts of what I'm saying will be fiction. But I was thinking about, wow, yeah, The Sopranos had this big journey, and then I was just sinking into the past, and then I was thinking about the power, of archives and archiving things. And I said, geez, I wonder, let me see how I could talk about this. Let me talk about the biggest, the impact in my relationship with HBO. I've kind of talked about it before, but never in this direct way, I guess. And those of you that aren't in the U.S., HBO is a premium channel, which plays movies in their own shows. I'm sure a lot of you have heard of it, but it used to stand for Home Box Office. And I believe it was one of the first premium cable channels, which you would pay, I don't know in the past what it cost, $5, $10, $15 a month is what it costs nowadays. And now with the unbundling of cable, you could just subscribe to it alone, which is really convenient, except when you forget about making sure you get value for value. Sometimes I forget about that when I talk about it on the podcast, with Patreon, but I say, oh, geez, if I'm paying for HBO, I want to be watching it, especially when you're just subscribing to the app. I've been getting a ton of value out of the Showtime one. But so let me just talk about it. So I was oldest of six kids. If you're a new listener, this might be a real window into some things of me. Yeah, I was born in the 70s, but grew up in the 80s. Mostly became sentient. I don't know when you become sentient or your memories start recording. I mean, my recording of memories has always been spotty. But I associate most of my memories with the 1980s. I'm the oldest of six kids. I grew up in Syracuse, New York. And at some point when I was a kid was when cable became a thing. I remember not having cable. And then I can almost remember the day the cable got installed. And I think if you have six kids, and again, I don't know what the proposition. My parents were, when you have six kids, money's tight, no matter what. And then my mom was from a very large family, and my dad was from the Bronx, and his parents were very concerned about money. So I always lived in an environment where my parents my parents always did their best to take care of us, and their money was spent, I think, on providing for us. But they never just spent money in a casual way, I guess. So I don't know what prompted this decision. Maybe I could interview them when I see them. But at some point, they decided to get cable. I think because it was such a, it just became this universal thing. And I don't know if, like, living in Syracuse, I mean, I guess going from, like, three channels, or because they don't even think they had Fox back then. They just had, in Syracuse, it was 3, 5, and 9. And then you had PBS. So four channels. Excuse me, PBS. So I spent so much time with you. I didn't mean to hurt you. I'm sorry. That was wrong of me. It was like, I just got corporate brain. I'm sorry about that. Mr. Rogers, Captain Kangaroo, please forgive me. But anyway, let's move on to this corporate. Let's move on to this corporate behemoth. You did change LeVar Burton. I mean, what can I say? But that's for another time, I guess. So at some point we got cable. Now we didn't get, like, I don't know how they sold cable packages back then. This is where I could use the help of the NSA. I don't know if they were tapping anything back then. But if you have all this centralized, like our cable guides and our bills, it'd be super handy. Also, though, for those of you that didn't grow up in the 80s, you'll have to indulge me. But this will be, like, for our younger listeners, a little retro. And for listeners that are like that weren't grew up in the 80s, maybe it'll be familiar for you as well. So, I mean, this is like, think about what you could do on your phone now. You couldn't even, we had a cathode ray tube TV without even wireless remotes. The remotes were wired for the cable, and they were push button. They were, I think they may have been analog, like that brown, strange brown remote, which you had to shift it up and down to get, anyway, some people know what I'm talking about, but it's not that important. Like, you had to push a button that would go in to change the channel. It just to give you a little idea. I know it's the Stone Ages, totally. So we got cable. I remember the day the cable got installed. I don't remember a lot about it other than that, because it would have been like 6 to 7, 8 years old. I don't even know what grade you're in those ages. Well, no, I should. My daughter's so forth. Yeah, so first, second, third grade. And I do remember a couple things about cable. It wasn't that great for kids. I think at some point they came up with Nickelodeon. But I don't even think Nickelodeon had like 18 or 12 hours of programming. And this is going to reveal that, you know, I never said I'm a heartfelt, good person. But it, like, they had this awful show called Pinwheel. And I don't know if there's any Pinwheel fans on there. But I loathed that show. I think that was like the first attempt at a TV for toddlers. But the problem was, if you stayed home from school, you faked you were sick. The main value, if you're a kid of six, oldest of six kids even, is that you want to be able to, you have full control of the TV. And after the game shows ended at noon, that was great until school, until after school television programming. You had this great gulf of nothingness. Literally only soap operas and Pinwheel. And Pinwheel was a show, like today's special, I think, would start, I don't know what time that started, at 2:30 or 3. I didn't really like that show, but I think one of my siblings would watch it. But, so Pinwheel's just toddler TV, like, but early stages, so they're just figuring this out. So I don't even remember. I just remember it was like a disappointment that I would watch anyway, because what else was he going to do? I mean, I loved reading, but if I was homesick from school, it was to spoil myself because I was faking it. And I think in second grade, this is probably where most of it comes from. I did break my arm in second grade, and I was home from school for a while because it was a, it really in my memory I was. So maybe that's where it came from. It's like I had a long stretch at home, like a couple weeks or something, at least in my memory. So that's probably where my resentment for Pinwheel came up, because I had so many days that I was watching TV in a row. Of course, that's when I discovered, like, other channels, like, I think I talked about this on a recent podcast, but there was ER, not the ER on NBC, but another George Clooney ER situation comedy. And that was on some channel, like a superstation, which I don't have time to get into. One day I'll do a show about WPIX, which also had a huge impact on my life. And, but it, like, there was also a show, it would be ER, and then this other show, which was a situational comedy that took place in a bar, rooftop bar, with a lounge singer and the wait staff. I don't know what that was called either. Those two shows for a second grader were barely watchable, but at least they were better than soap operas, which is probably an appealing thing or something. My mom liked soap operas, so I couldn't like them, except when I got a little older and I watched them for a little while. But so at some point we got cable, and then HBO was a luxury. We wouldn't get HBO, the kids that that lived the fat life, in my opinion, they also had Cinemax. I don't know if Showtime was around, but there was TMC. That was the movie channel. And remember, this is pre-Blockbuster. So this is the only way you could see a Hollywood movie in your house, probably. I don't know. There might have been video stores and stuff, but I don't think that happened until I got to middle school. And my parents, my mom was very busy and my dad was working, so they weren't about to be hitting up video stores, especially if I was the oldest. The rest of the kids, you know, they were just my house was always based on Darwinism anyway. But so at some point, but what would happen is HBO would run like a weekend where there would be free HBO for everybody to try to get you hooked. And then I don't know what would happen. I guess I'd interview my parents, but I don't think they would be reliable witnesses. That's why I need the NSA to look through my parents' bills. It would be way more handy. But at some points we did have HBO. So I don't know if it was like a special or... Maybe when we went to bed, one of my parents liked watching HBO secretly, or maybe they thought it like shut us up. Me is particularly because I was the oldest and the worst kid, right? And that's not a self-esteem thing. I just was not it was a handful, you know, to keep us occupied for a couple more hours of dealing with the younger kids. But so I had a lot of memories of HBO, like tons as we dig in here. But the pinnacle HBO moment of my life, I think, was during an HBO, whatever they call that, like a preview weekend when they showed Raiders of the Lost Ark, because Raiders of the Lost Ark came out in 82, I think, and I was too young to see that in the movie theater. And I was probably too young to see it, period, when it came to HBO, which I would assume would have been... or fourth or fifth grade, so 84, 85, and particularly focused on 1984 tonight. So when I saw that movie, like it came out on exactly on noon, like because what would happen, or maybe 11, maybe 10, I think noon though, because what would happen is it would be the Saturday matinee. And that was when cartoons would end, or maybe, I don't know what, I think there was like cartoon reruns or something between 10 and 12. I'm not sure of the timing. Again, this is where and they say, well, don't you work in a library? Well, I say, well, yeah, I guess I could go back and microfiche all this. And that's a great idea. When I have time, I will. So at some point, and I remember, I think my brother Carl and my sister Sheila were there, maybe my brother Ted, I don't know. But we were trying to figure out, geez, should we go outside? Should we do something? Like, we weren't allowed to watch WWF, which I think also came on around that time on Saturdays, because that would cause us too much trouble. That's professional wrestling. My dad, he thinks professional wrestling was personally designed to make his life difficult, and we would act like maniacs and start wrestling. So we weren't allowed to watch that because we couldn't control ourselves. But so at some point around 11 or 12, this one Saturday, we would normally watch to see what the matinee was if we had access to HBO, and 99% of the time it stunk. Like sometimes we'll go into other possible movies that would be on, but you know, they're trying to pitch something that's got to be PG or G, and it has to have like a wide, you know, it has to appeal to a decent amount of people. So it's a tough programming job for HBO, but not this day. This day they hit it out of the park because it was Raiders of the Lost Ark. And I think maybe I'd seen some ads for the movie, but since I didn't have an older sibling and my parents had six kids, so they didn't really go to the movies. I didn't really know, like, I could not believe from the second the movie started, I was floored. Like, this was like something so far out of my ability to understand what awesomeness could be created. Like, it was just so, like, and I'd seen some, like, old Flash Gordon. I probably hadn't seen a Star Wars movie yet, but maybe that's not true. I don't know when I saw my first Star Wars movie, but I'll never forget this day. I could not, from every, like, we were wrapped, R-A-P-T, watching this movie. And it was just unbelievable. I could not believe how awesome every second movie was, how funny it could be, how moved I could be, how the sounds, it just changed my life literally forever. I mean, I guess I took some turns, some serious meanders away from wanting to create story and take people places. But this movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark, I was literally floored. Like, when the movie ended, I could not believe what I just saw. We didn't have a DVR, so I couldn't rewatch it. And I remember we went outside, and then the other kids in our neighborhood started coming outside, and this kid that lived across the street from me, Dave, I said, dude, I can't, like, I was telling him, I was like, and his brother was one of my brother's ages. And it was just like, I remember it was one of those memories where you go out in the sun, like, you can't get adjusted to the sun. And you're trying to reset your, like hormones and emotions. And you've just been transported to someplace. And then, you know, the world, you're like, really hard to readjust to the world. And kind of hard to be like, well, geez, I'm just going to do we want to recreate the movie with sticks? You know, that's what we did. We immediately started adventuring. It was just a moment I'll never, never forget. And one of those pure moments of, I don't know, where my attention, I was fully engulfed by this movie. So for a long time, I've been curious, when was that? When did I see that movie? And was that the premiere? Because maybe it did say, world premiere. That's what got our attention. But I do have a very strong memory afterwards of going outside and playing outside, which in Syracuse, New York, where it was warm enough, it wasn't winter or pouring rain. It was sunny. I remember, so at noon, you know, in Syracuse, the sun at noon isn't always guaranteed. And this might have been, maybe we went outside at noon. So yeah, maybe Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, started at 10 or 11. But so whatever, we went outside and I just remember the sun, like I said, and then I remember playing. So it made me think it was in the spring or the summer. But again, I don't have a ton of extra time to do research on the podcast, but I did some research. Yeah, because HBO had their own little magazine-style guides back then. So I thought we'd just piece through them, because then it'll kind of tell some of my HBO experiences in 1984, at least. And, for some other people, because there's some stuff that I've heard of and some other great memories. So yeah, let's just take a look. I just am using Google here. And if we take a look back here, there's this first one that came up is from 1984, is June 1984. And on the inside cover, so it's like a little bit of a magazine. There's a couple ads for some movies that people have probably heard of. The Dark Crystal, another movie we won't talk about. Wimbledon 1984, and Martinez on the cover of that. National Lampoon's Vacation, Dr. Detroit, and then a George Carlin on campus special. And I don't remember, like, my parents were strict about R movies, so I didn't see a lot of R movies. So I don't know when I first saw National Lampoon's Vacation. Maybe it was this summer. Watched a lot of Wimbledon. My grandmother, my mom's mom, grandma, what I called her, she loved tennis. So I remember, like, watching a lot of Wimbledon. And this was like when McEnroe, or I guess I wasn't watching, I was complaining probably, but the adults would be watching it. But yeah, let's see what else we got here. And this next page is a Rich Little special, which I probably saw that. Easy Money, I didn't see that till I was much older. Another Wimbledon ad. Draw, which maybe Wimbledon was the thing that got my parents to subscribe for my grandma, or just in general. Glenn Campbell special. Glenn Campbell, I think, sings I'm the lineman for the county, which people, when I was a insect trapper, people would sing that to me. Then a movie, Fin Friend, Dolphin 3, but instead of Dolphin, another name. I definitely remember seeing that movie because it was in 3D, but it wasn't on HBO. But I remember loving that movie. And let's see, Fraggle Rock. I remember watching Fraggle Rock, and here's like an ad for Bringing Home the Magic of Fraggle Rock. Though it doesn't look like toys. Furry Fraggle Rock 5. Lovable, huggable collection of Fraggle plush. I guess they are. And a Dozer wind-up. They weren't cheap. The Gobo doll, Boober. I don't remember any of these dolls, even though I watched the show. Red. I remember Red. Wembley. They're like around $15 to $17. And the Dozer wind-up was $4.99. Shipping and handling, $2.50. 2 to 4 weeks for delivery. Can you imagine having to wait for that long? And let's see. Let's run through some of those Fraggle Rock plots. Fraggle Rock, Red's club. Red is surprised to see Gobo elected president of her new club. That was in October. Oh, so this page is from October. The secret of convincing John. How does convincing John make Wembley a decisive Fraggle? That sounds like a test question. Manny's land of carpets. The promised land beckons. It looks like a new Fraggle Rock comes out every week, at least in the fall. Junior sells the farm. A salesman trips Junior Gorg. Fraggle Rock. A monkey, Moki, discovers another tribe of Fraggles. Then there was a TV show, like there's a couple ads. I remember seeing this ads for the movie The Glitter Dome. James Garner, Margot Kidder, and John Lithgow, but I don't ever remember. That was probably R, or just like an adult movie that it was bored me. Then there's a like a spot here for The Right Stuff. Scott Glenn, Dennis Quaid, Sam Shepard, Kim Stanley. I kind of remember The Right Stuff, but I don't think I had the attention span for it. Let's see, movie with George Segal, consumer sports special, tough dramas on HBO. One with Charles Bronson, one with Steve McQueen. And there's a lot of ads I saw for The Year of Living Dangerously. Again, I remember seeing some of these previews when I was watching other stuff on HBO. But this starred Mel Gibson, Sigourney Weaver, and Linda Hunt, a foreign correspondent and a glamorous diplomat, are caught up in intrigue and revolts in a sultry 60s Indonesia. The atmospheric thriller features Linda Hunt in her powerful Academy Award-winning performance. Oh, wow, is an all-knowing tipster. Directed by Peter Weir. And PG, an hour and 55 minutes. Never seen that movie. Let's see, Superman 3. I definitely saw this one. This was with Richard Pryor. Let's see what else came out that month. Can't quite make it out. Not all the pictures are HD. But here we go. 1984, November. Raiders of the Lost Ark's on the cover. And I think this is the right one. It has the right, also it says Harrison Ford on the cover. Raiders of the Lost Ark. The Right Stuff. something else, All the Right Moves, Larry Holmes' title fight, and the Glitter Dome. Then we jump to a 1984 guide, and I think so. So this is a Red Skelton Royal Performance. I definitely saw that. At least I saw some Red Skelton performances. I kind of remember it. Then there's an ad for Not Necessarily the News, which was, I think, like an early Daily Show. I mean, I didn't, like, I've talked about it before, but, like, I would watch that show, and I thought it was hilarious, even though I probably didn't get most of the jokes. Not Necessarily the News is my favorite news show on TV. That's from M. Kitman from Newsday. Look for HBO's hit comedy series on Saturday nights and other times, too. And then there's an ad for Terry Garr, The Black Stallion Returns. I don't think I was a big Black Stallion fan. So there's something about it that I didn't like. And then there's an ad for Silver Dream Racer with Beau Bridges. Never saw that. Here's a Saturday at 11 a.m. was Superman 3. That's Sunday. Oh, no, Sunday, April 8th. So I definitely saw that. Here's another movie I gave a shot. Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid. That was a Steve Martin comedy. Oh, this was April 7th. I was probably watching that because Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid was on. Then Oliver at 2:30. And 7 p.m. was The Black Stallion Returns. And then 9 p.m. was Not Necessarily the News. So then I probably had to go to bed. Then this one's from September 1984. There's a Joe Piscopo special with Eddie Murphy. I may have seen that in a Robert Klein special called... describe it. A potpourri of Piscopo's people. In his first solo... So this is like before Comedy Central or Netflix. Like you'd have your stand-up comedy specials. In his first TV special and TV appearance since Saturday Night Live, Joe presents innovative sketches and stand-up comedy. So that's Andy. Oh, he does Andy, Frank Sinatra, Joan Rivers, Andy Rooney, and David Hartman. Then Robert Klein, an all-new comedy performance. Klein raps about his New York youth, now with a baby of his own. The child of the 50s takes a humorous look at parenthood in the 80s. Yeah, and then another ad for Not Necessarily the News. Here's one from May of 84. There was Sugar Ray Leonard. Twilight Zone. Oh, here. So this was definitely I was watching this time. So this must have been the year we had it because Twilight Zone, the movie, I saw that. And War Games, I definitely saw that. February of 84, Billy Crystal special, I probably saw that. A David Bowie special, I never saw that. Holy moly. The Man with Two Brains, I tried watching that. Probably watched it a few times. Then April of 84, they had High Road to China, Women's Gymnastics, Superman 3, also Culture Club in Concert. They had something called Single Plays, the David Bowie special, a summer special. I don't know what that means. So Beach Boys special, Culture Club, George Burns, Last Unicorn. Then something called the Far Pavilions, an epic on grand scale. 1,000 extras, 5,000 costumes, 3 palaces, scores of camels, horses, and elephants. It helped to recreate the splendor of India under the British Raj. The setting for HBO premiere films, The Far Pavilions, this $12 million miniseries was filmed in India. So, wow, first of 3 parts. Oh, here's an ad that notes that HBO's 24 hours. So that was a big deal, too, because back then TV would just stop. Let's see what else we have. Here's an ad from in October 1984, Family Showcase, every weekday afternoon. But there's better stuff on normally. A Boy Named Charlie Brown, that was a decent movie. David Copperfield, Gizmo, I don't know what that is. We Think the World is Round. There's Columbus's Ships, Robbers, Rooftops, and Witches, stories by O. Henry, Ray Bradbury. The Halloween That Almost Wasn't. I probably saw that. That was pretty picky. Here's another ad for Superman 3 from 84. August 84, there was a Bette Midler special and Mr. Mom. So I definitely remember seeing Mr. Mom. So this was the year I saw this. Here's an interesting one. This is a HBO 1984 Christmas schedule. Rich Little's A Christmas Carol. That must have been a hit. 50 minutes. Red Skelton presents Freddy the Freeloader's Christmas Dinner with Vincent Price. And then the beloved Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. It's 49 minutes. Jim Henson's Muppets, an award-winning story about love, generosity, and loyalty. The Trolls in the Christmas Express. I don't know what that one was, but determined to sabotage Christmas, six trolls sneak into Santa's village. Delightful animation. The Christmas That Almost Wasn't. When a Scrooge-like zillionaire buys the North Pole, children come to Santa's rescue. Raiders of the Lost Ark. It was on December 25th. What a great Christmas movie. Harrison Ford stars in George Lucas and Steven Spielberg's box office hits. And here's the Saturday Family Matinee. That's what I was talking about. December 1st, Annie. I saw that. December 8th, Shipwreck. I don't remember that one. December 15th, Daffy Duck's movie. Saw that. December 22nd, another classic in my life, War Games. And then December 29th, was Superman 3. That was also a classic. Okay, just run around here. Let's see. This one's from March of 1982, Bedknobs and Broomsticks. That was a classic for me. Weaving a Spell to Save Britain from WW2, amateur witch Angela Lansbury stirs up a lively brew of fantasy and music. This blend of live action and animation won an Oscar for special visual effects. Also, there was a Simon and Garfunkel concert in the park, standing room only. The big music event in 1981 is now an HBO exclusive. This historic concert features 21 songs, including Mrs. Robinson and The Sound of Silence. Yeah, let's see what else was on TV during the day. The Electric Horseman. I remember seeing that, like, not understanding what the heck that was. Saturday, March 13th, though, 7 p.m., Bedknobs and Broomsticks was on. I'll see, on Sunday, March 14th, I don't see, Simon and Garfunkel was on, but I don't, I would have been to second grade. I was too young for that. Here's one from 86, HBO Family Showcase. I don't think I had the, we didn't have HBO then, because I don't recognize any of this, other than, you know, Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. July 1982, definitely didn't have it. They had baseball on there. Wow. Or a baseball show, Race for the Pennant, a Diana Ross special with a 50-piece orchestra. Only When I Laugh with Christy McNichol and Marsha Mason. Okay, here's some stuff I might have missed. What's this, 82? Yeah, I still didn't, I don't think I saw any of this. They had Walt Disney's production, The Black Hole, which I ended up seeing at some point, but I think I was just a little bit off on the ages there. Yeah, these are still, how about this one, All Night Radio, an HBO comedy, a TV show about radio? Just flip your dial to this zany comedy special about an all-night radio station. See it from the DJ's booth, listen in at the dinner door or the diner next door. Wow, cast of far-out characters. Here's a year I may have had it, though. Popeye with Robin Williams and Shelley Duvall. That was in 1982. I definitely saw that movie. The squint-eyed sailor of the comic strip comes to life on the screen. Robin Williams stars in this high-spirited comedy with Shelley Duvall as a beanpole olive oil. Here was a movie I was thinking about the other day that was on there. St. Helens, starring Art Carney. May 18th, 1980, dawned like calm and clear. Yeah, but then, you know, Mount St. Helens did some stuff. August 30th, that came out on HBO, 1982. I kind of remember seeing that, and then, but I wasn't really in it for the drama, so I didn't really watch very much of it. Here's another movie I saw. I remember seeing the song in the ads for, but never seen it in my life. The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia. This was August 1982. It's a PG movie. Nashville Bound with the Law Knife Far Behind. Christy McNichol and Dennis Quaid turn the country and western music business upside down. Mark Hamill also co-stars in this upbeat drama. Adult situations and language and brief nudity. At PG, you could get brief nudity. You got to be kidding me. So that's interesting. But I never seen that movie. And I was a big fan of these Gary Coleman movies. I don't remember this one. It's called Scout's Honor. But I do remember a few other ones I liked. A happily single executive becomes a den mother for youngsters who wreak havoc with her life. Gary Coleman in a funny, often moving drama. And I was a big Gary Coleman fan. Let's see what was on the weekends in 82, August. Under the Rainbow, Scout's Honor, the Gary Coleman movie. That was at 10:30 a.m. Clash of the Titans. So I was watching this. That was at 12:30, August 14th. I probably was watching right then. Then they kind of repeat everything again, which that would get on my nerves too. Oh, yeah. Oh, Sunday, August 15th, 10:30 a.m., Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Well, that would be good. That was a good weekend. Then there was a Beach Boys special at 5:30, then another Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. So that would have been a good time to have HBO. How about this one? 1984, Men at Work in concert and Crystal Gayle in concert. David Bowie, Serious Moonlight. Wow. A lot of good stuff. Oh, here's the family showcase. I don't recognize anything but one thing, Raggedy Ann and Andy, 1982. I remember this movie. I think we had it on videotape as a kid, and I never liked it. I don't know what about it. It definitely triggered something on my somatic level or whatever vestigial. I don't know if I had a vestigial Raggedy. I did have a Raggedy Andy doll because I was called Andy as a boy. But let's see, Fearless Ragdolls, Raggedy Ann and Brother Andy set out on a musical adventure to rescue the kidnapped French doll, Babette. Clever animation plus live action, G. It wasn't G to me. There's something in it that made me, oh boy, what year is this? 1986. At some point in 86, The Legend of Billie Jean was on. But I don't see what time. Also 86. So we probably had it, Breakfast Club. I remember seeing that movie, 1986. Here's another one from 1984, The Family Showcase. I don't recognize any of these things. I think this was back too when they still had propaganda for kids. So like a lot of stuff to convince kids to be perfect. The Special Magic of Herself the Elf, then Fraggle Rock. Let's run through this. Of course we should run through this. Fraggle Rock. Wembley's Eggs. A gigantic bird's egg shows up in Fraggle Rock. Wembley discovers he's a mother. Boober Rock. Boober wants peace and quiet, but life away from his pals has its problems. The trash heap doesn't live here anymore. The Gorgs decide to build a gazebo, and Wembley's mission is to save the trash heap. Red's a sea monster. Red's sure she discovered a mysterious beast. Let's see. This one's from 84. There was not necessarily the Olympics special, and then not necessarily the news. Those are classics. This was the LA 84 LA Olympics too. So it must have been a lot of things. Wavelength with Robert Carradine. I don't remember that movie. Love Sick with Dudley Moore. Strange Brew. I definitely saw that movie. Also a Cheech and Chong movie. So Strange Brew, SCTV's lunatic McKenzie brothers try to outsmart a brewmaster who's spiking the world's beer supply with mind-controlled drugs. I was definitely watching that in 84. And then Yellowbeard. Cheech and Chong and Marty Feldman, swashbuckling silly. I've never seen this. Graham Chapman's in this. plays this aging scourge of the briny sea. Huh, I wonder if that movie was any good. So this is July 1984. Let's see, July 7th, we had Bear Island. Oh, Swamp or Swamp Buddy. It's not the real name of it, but I remember watching that movie. So I was probably watching on July 7th at 1:30 p.m. And then nothing looks like I would watch it. And then Sunday, July 8th, Honky Tonk Man. Oh, James Bond movie, Octopussy. My dad, that he was like, you will never watch that movie. And I don't think I did. I mean, I think he too, like, he didn't get that. I think I was like, Dad, there's an octopus in the movie. But he took it literally. So he was like, you'll never see that movie. This was another thing I loved, Brain Games on HBO. This is what the HBO's exclusive funny new half hour of family entertainment. The show you don't watch is the show you play. It's a series of mind-teasing segments, and it's truly original. I really liked that, Brain Games, and I liked that it said Brain Games. Here's 1987, which I don't know if we had it back then, but that's when Return of the Jedi premiered in March of 1987. Oh boy, here I'm seeing some good ones here. This was a movie, oh no, White Knight. I didn't like, that was Mikhail Baryshnikov and Gregory Hines. I was a bigger fan of Running Scared, but that one I don't really remember. I think it had to do with ballet. A nightmare becomes real for Russian defector Mikhail Baryshnikov when his plane crashes in Siberia. And he has a hope with two people he can't trust, U.S. defector Gregory Hines. They also have an ad for HBO Late Night, which was like rated R movies. But mostly comedies, I think, lately, you know what I mean. Here's a couple other classics that I saw. Emo Phillips comedy specials. I definitely caught those. Emo is an original, to say the least, and his view of life is just as original. On topics like scuba diving, washing the kitchen, he has a unique way of looking at things. Here's Emo at the Hasty Puddings Theater in Cambridge, Massachusetts. That was in 87, though. Then Lucas, I remember watching this movie a bunch. Lucas is in love, but he's too short, too skinny, and too much of a loner. This is Corey Haim. Still the 14-year-old outsider is determined to win the prettiest girl at school away from the handsome football hero. Oh, here we go. Legend of Billie Jean, 1986. Billie Jean Davy is the typical girl next door until fate turns her world upside down and sends her on the run from the law. Helen Slater from Ruthless People plays Billie Jean, who becomes a media sensation and national celebrity. Also, I remember Transylvania 6500. I don't remember watching it, but I remember when that came out. Daytime, here's Breakin'. I remember seeing that movie a lot. What year is this? 87. That makes sense. Two veteran breakdancers team up with a more conventional dance student. The trio of dreamers dares to aim high, right at the Broadway stage. I was bigger on Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo, but I do remember Breaking. Sesame Street presents Follow That Bird. That was a Sesame Street movie. Reds, I don't think I saw that when I was young. Here's April 87. That's when Back to the Future hit HBO. Here's one of the funniest and most exciting time travel fantasies ever. I would say movies ever, but Michael J. Fox, the 80s team, accidentally zooms to the nifty 50s and almost uncreates himself by disrupting the romance between his teen parents-to-be, nominated for 4 1985 Oscars. And there was also a Barbra Streisand special on there. This one had a huge impact on me, but this was in 87, was Robert Townsend always had these HBO specials, and I loved those. It was like sketch comedy and stand-up. Director star of Hollywood Shuffle shares a stage with some up-and-comers in an evening of comedy and music, December 19th and December 30th. This was HBO Comedy Hour Live. But at some point, they would give him his own regular special. And this one here is Season's Greetings, December 1986 in HBO, Rocky IV, which I saw. So we definitely had HBO in 86 because Spies Like Us, I loved that movie. Rocky IV, what other movies? Gymkata, that was another one I saw a lot. Ghostbusters, what else we got on here? Revenge of the Nerds. Santa Claus, the movie. I don't know about that one. Christmas at Radio City Music Hall. Look at this lineup. Last Laughs, New Year's Eve Comedy. Comedy Relief, 87. Listen to this one. Paul Reiser, Roseanne Barr, Bob Goldthwait, Jerry Seinfeld, Sam Kinison, Paul Rodriguez, and Women of the Night. Also, they have First in 10, which was this HBO comedy. Would occasionally have brief nudity. That was one of the main reasons I watched, I'll be honest with you. It was kind of funny. Or it would have adult situations or whatever you call that, where it was almost brief nudity. Okay, let's finish up with this. This is July 1986. Mad Max was out that summer. Cannonball Run 2, so I saw that. Girls Just Want to Have Fun. I don't remember that, but I mean, I remember the song. Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. Midnight Express. Was that Charles Grodin, De Niro movie? Midnight Run. You're right. That was called Midnight Run. Ooh, St. Elmo's Fire. Revenge of the Nerds. Yeah, I definitely was watching then. I was missing good movies. Pale Rider. I didn't see that back then. Oh, there's one of my loves, A View to a Kill. So this was a good year. This was a good time. Hall & Oates, The Liberty Concert. Not necessarily the movies, not necessarily the news. Robert Klein on Broadway. The regular Cannonball Run. Meatballs Part 2. Oh, boy. Secret of Nim. Twilight Time. I don't know. Wimbledon, 1986. A couple other movies, probably seeing Tina Turner's Private Dancer. So, yeah, that was some HBO from my childhood. I guess we didn't really nail anything down, but it was an interesting journey. Hopefully it put you to sleep. Okay, I want to thank everybody supporting the show on Patreon. I want to thank Kay, Tracy, and Veronica with a K. Thanks and good night. I want to thank Emily, Ketchup, and Oliver. Thank you and good night. I want to thank Christy, Jeremy, and Kate. Thank you and good night. I want to thank Carl, Caitlin, and Patricia. Thank you and good night. I want to thank and good night Mark, Rainey, and Andrew G. Thank you and good night. Good night and thank you to Rachel, Douglas, and Rob. Thanks and good night to Casper, to Kate Reeds, and to Sophie B. Thank you and good night to Helen, to Teresa, and to David. Thank you and good night. Good night and thank you to Robin, to Brian, and to Ruth. Thanks and good night to Mary J, Kay, and Jamie M. Good night and thank you to Sarah, to the M, to the S, Dana, and Rachel. Good night and thank you to Bernadette, Vaughn, and Crystal. Thanks and good night to Lisa, to Mary, and Aaron. Good night and thank you to Renee, T, Stephanie, and Jen. Thanks and good night to Lisa, to Cher, and to Deborah. Good night and thank you to Cheryl, to James, and Samantha D. Thanks and good night to Vincent, Blair, and Kathleen. Good night and thank you to Tammy, to Goran, and to Michelle. Thanks and good night to Kathy, to Lauren with an O to the R to the E to the N, to Claire, and to Mr. B. Thanks and good night to Sonia. Thank you and good night to Rachel, Tyrone. Rachel and Tyrone, thank you and good night. Vicky, Nomads, and Mary Beth, thank you and good night. Claudia, Margaret, and Nina, thank you and good night. Mike, Jesse with a J to two S's and a Y, and Sarah, thanks and good night. Thanks again to Shannon S., to X Modem, a former modem, and Skype. That mixed me up. And Sky, thank you and good night. Good night and thank you to Doug, to Shirley, and to Gil. Good night and thanks to Patricia, to Tony with an I, and to Eli. Thanks and good night to Andrew M., to Taryn, and to Babeen. Good night and thank you to Rosie, to Vivian and Rob with two B's. Thanks and good night to Diane, to Michael C., and to Melinda. And thanks and good night to Lori, to Lupe, and Laura, and Shelley. Thanks and good night, everybody, for supporting the show over on Patreon. Thank you so much.
Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.